from the Samira Foundation, this is Demystifying NMO and MOG, where we bring together the world's foremost experts, the doctors dedicated to studying it, and the patients who live with it every day. With support from Genentech. Welcome back. Today, we delve into the world of patient advocacy with Lita, an inspiring advocate. She joined me to talk about her journey and the transformative impact patient advocacy and education have had on her life following her NMO diagnosis. Lita initially joined the Samira Foundation as its Denmark ambassador. Her hard work in helping raise awareness of NMO in Europe led to her becoming the international ambassador liaison. She's currently part of UPADI's Patient Academy. Now, the Academy offers education and training to patients that empowers them to take an active role in their healthcare decisions. Lita offers her insight into the power of patient involvement in healthcare decision making. Her dedication to raising awareness, empowering fellow patients, and helping shape the future of healthcare makes a meaningful difference in the lives of those that are affected by rare diseases. Let's welcome Lita. My first question is, how did you get involved in patient advocacy and NMO advocacy? When did you get diagnosed with NMO? What was your backstory there?
Oh, I was diagnosed in 2018. And I was this type of person who was active and doing a lot of stuff in my hometown and engaging the community and being a huge part in my kids' lives. And then I got sick, and it was strange for me when the doctor told me that I had NMOSD, and I don't remember what I said at the moment, but I remember when I was driving home thinking, what is this? Should I be happy? Should I be sad? And I came home and I had to explain my family and friends what it was. And at that time, I was, what is this? How can I explain my kids what it is? And I have to Google it. And you know how it is, Google. It's not never a good thing. Google is telling you about diseases. So right. I was very afraid. And I did a huge thing researching more before I explained my family. And then I realized that was a lack of information on the out there to people. I was tired explaining all the time to people, because people knew me in here in my town, and they were, you know, when people don't know what it is, they will start guessing, and I was afraid of that. So I just put myself out there from my social media. I think I will educate people. I will tell people what I have and how it is, my diagnosis and how it was until I got that diagnosis and everything. I was being very, very honest about my trajectory with the NMO. And through Facebook, that's the way I found the Samira Foundation. And they asked me if I wanted to be an ambassador. And they'll say, yeah, absolutely. I want to be an ambassador because I can see the need. I can see the need in advocate and educate people and talk about the disease, not only for education, but to get to other patients as well, supporting. And I really wish I knew a person with an NMOSD when I had my diagnosis, so I could ask questions and know that I was not alone. And that's the way it started.
You were the Samira Foundation's international ambassador liaison. And
yes.
You've been involved in a number of projects throughout Europe, working with us, working on patient days, and doing incredible work. And one of the things that you had gotten involved with was UPADI, the European Patients Academy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Yeah, the EU Party is an organization that aims to educate the patients and the public in medicine developing, and it provides training and empowerment for the patients to get more involved in their own healthcare. That's the way I started. I started because, first of all, I got fired from a job. I had to retire. I
Oh.
can't work anymore. I have some blind spots in my vision, so it's difficult for me to do the same work as I did before. And the fatigue, then spasticity and nerve pain, it is a lot. I can't work anymore. So I am retired. So I felt like my brain stopped working for me going home and not doing enough. So I felt the necessity to start learning things again. So for me, party was a good thing because it was a little bit in the same field that I my background.
You had a background working in a laboratory? Okay.
I worked as a laboratory assistant. So for me, no learning. I have a huge interest in the medicine and the whole development and research. And so for me, it was natural to just start in this education. And I wanted to know more so I could be better to advocate, to get engaged in some of the debates and discussions. So yes, for me, that's why I chose to start taking the education.
Yeah, having that patient voice, that patient actually being able to be actively engaged in their healthcare decisions is so important. With UPOTI, they have a number of great projects that they're doing, and I hope we can talk about that. Was really interesting to me was the patient expert training program. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, that's the part that gives you the knowledge to get engaged in a medical trial. An example for you. We learn everything about medical trial, and medical trial is a necessity. And knowing how you can collaborate to getting the process started and be part of that. That's the thing you learn and get qualified to be part of that. There are a lot of parts in the education. The medical trial was just one of them.
So the training program, is it designed for like clinicians or researchers or patients?
Caregivers can also be part of it. It is there for the public, the people who have the interest in advocate. They will be qualified to get out there and be part of discussions about healthcare.
Who's eligible to join the program? I know Clorinda just recently completed it. TS ambassador from India, who's doing an incredible job with her work there. So is it open to anyone globally?
Yes, it is. It's open for everybody. And I will say it's easy. It's a very easy to start because you just have to open your tablet or computer and start taking the modules. You can take a test when you are finished. And when you are finished with all the modules, you can be at the 101 course and get your certificate. It happens just once in a year, and this year you will be in Spain, in Madrid. We'll be there for 4 days discussing cases. Clorinda took it, and it was in just, I believe, in 14 months. That's normal time for people to take the education. I have been a longer time because I was thinking about not getting stressed. No, I want to get things in my own way and not putting myself there getting stressed about it. So I started for 1.5 years ago. So I'll be like 2 years taking the education. One more thing I want to say, that you have to be able to read in English and communicate in English. That's the thing. That was not my case. When I started, I couldn't speak English, so I learned English along the way. So yeah,
that's amazing. I mean, the content has to be challenging enough.
It is,
and then to learn English on top of that is
it is awesome. Challenging, but I feel like I was learning so many good things, and it made sense. Like for me, knowing about treatments and how the research is done. Like we as patients today, we have so much to contribute in this field, because we know what we are talking about. We are feeling the disease in our own bodies, so we can contribute with a lot. So when the main goal here is to learn about the medicine from the bench in the laboratory to when the patient gets the medicine, you learn all the steps. I find this very excited, and know how difficult it is to, especially when you have a rare disease. Back in time, the scientist will be alone working and creating a new medicine. Today, we as patients and having this education, you can contribute with the scientist. What is the necessity? What has to be created? Why are we creating this medicine, specifically medicine? You can be involved, as patients, you can be involved in all the steps from the research to the development and to the medical trial.
Right. And I think having an understanding of that process of how a new medication is created is helpful and important, because, you know, from the patient side, we want cures and we want medications for treatments and things like that. And having an understanding of the process that it has to go through helps us appreciate the work that's going into it. And also understanding that there are so many steps that it has to go through just to make sure that it's safe. We've all seen or had to take medications that have a side effect, and then you get on another medication for that side effect, and you get this cascading effect, and it can be scary and overwhelming. But seeing the process that a medication goes through, I think, really empowers us. And being able to have input on how that process and being involved in that process is really important in making sure that the medications are effective and are able to reach the right audiences and the patients that need it.
Totally agree. And learning how it is the process, like from the beginning, there's so much money involved. They can start with maybe creating this medicine, and at a certain point, they just have to throw it in the garbage, because it can't succeed. So
right.
All this thoughts and talk about the pharmacy industry just being this industry who just gets money and wants us to be sick so they can get their money. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. We need them, and they are having their money. Yeah, but you know something? They are expending so much money, and they just have the, what do you call, the pattern will be for only 10 years. After 10 years, all other industry could make a copy of their medicine.
Right.
So,
I think that's a really good point. Big pharma kind of gets a bad rap sometimes, but when you actually meet the people who work for these companies, they're doing great work and they have such interest in helping people improve their lives. The reputation that sometimes you hear just doesn't match the reality of the work that these people are doing and the care and compassion that they're pouring into their work.
I visited industry for 2 years ago when I was there talking about my disease and educating the workers and seeing how passionate they are and how they are doing things to help us. They heard my story and they were very happy to see that what they did gave a huge impact in my life, saving my life.
The thing that was I liked about the patient expert training program was the fact that it's self-paced. So for people with illnesses that are chronic, we all have bad days, and so being able to take on that education and to be able to work towards that goal at a pace that allows us to be able to participate is fantastic. So that blend of virtual and in person is great. I think that's phenomenal.
For me, the AU party, I feel like they gave me a second chance. I couldn't work anymore. So for me, still being able to take a new education in my own time, at my own terms, for me, it's huge. I'm so grateful for this opportunity, because the days I am having too much fatigue, I don't have to worry. Something, I can open my tablet tomorrow and read and learn things. And I don't have this timeline that I have to accomplish.
Right. Yeah, that flexibility.
Flexibility, yes, thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, it's more interest. For me, it's the personal interest to learn things and be better to advocate. And when I'll be there discussing with another doctors, like I am part of this panel, they are making a guideline, new guideline for treatment, NMO treatment. And I am so lucky to be patient representative in this group. So next time I see them, it will be maybe next year, I feel like I'm more qualified to be there.
Yeah, and that's a great example of how patient involvement in the healthcare decision-making can lead to better patient-centered outcomes. I think that's fantastic. Having a voice and being able to sit down and make sure that solutions are being built with patients for patients.
Exactly.
So we talked about the patient expert training program. What are some of the other resources or tools that UPOTI has that you think could be beneficial for patients, advocates, or clinicians that are listening, or people within the NMO community?
Give me a second. I wrote some stuff here. This is the thing. Remembering things, it's not that easy anymore.
I know.
That I feel like sometimes I have words that they just can't be in my head anymore. I have to create another word for that so I can remember. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. ridiculous. It's something before I got ill, I was actually I was not in the laboratory, but I was doing like a I was planner. I was planning the laboratory tasks, like who is going to do this analyze, which process will be, and when is going to be. And I was in between this the people who were sending the analyze and the samples, and the technicians doing the samples. And I had so many balls in the air, you know. And that's the thing that is gone. It's completely gone. I can't anymore. It's not good to think so much about it, because I have to concentrate on the positive things, you know.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, it's a little bit sad not being able. I feel like it was taken from me from one day to another, and I had to do a lot of therapy to accept that.
Yeah, I think that's something that we don't talk about enough in our community. I feel the same way. And the toll that, you know, whether it's the medication or the disease processes itself, having to become a different person in a lot of ways, it's a massive weight and a massive toll. I don't think we talk enough about what it's like to have to reinvent ourselves in so many ways.
That's true. I felt like when I came back to my work, it was, for me, it's the point where I would feel like everything would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I would be the old leader again, being back at my work. I loved my job. And then I came back, and I was there for 2-3 months. I don't remember. Then I got fired. So for me, it's a statement like, you know, it is not getting fine again. Things has changed. And that was, I thought I will get better and I can come back, because my boss was, when we get better, just I can hire you again, because it's not my decision, and I like you, I like the way you work, and if you get better, just come back. And I was looking for it to come back. And then I realized, you know something, my time there is gone. I'm grateful for the people I got to know, and all the time I spent with them, it was amazing, but I have to do another things now. I have to move over this, move on, I don't know, and try new things. And that's when my fight for advocate and getting things better for myself, for other patients, that is my mission today. That's my thing today. I can see so many things that has to be changed. And I am trying to reach out to the people who can make this change and tell them, listen, you have to see this. I have been through so many things. I have learned so many things. But sometimes it's like, the people who can make the change, I feel sometimes it is a little bit of arrogance. Like, you can tell me anything new, I know everything. So it's the new doctors who is getting educated now, they are more humble. they are willing to listen to us and learn with us.
No, I agree in a lot of ways. I think most of the patients that I've talked to, we've all run into those doctors who they don't want to hear anything. Like, they know it all. And that's where being a self-advocate is so important, kind of take that brunt from these people who don't want to listen. And it is interesting. You were saying about this generation of doctors that are coming up and coming into the field now, they have a different perspective. And I know here in the US, there's been a lot more emphasis on empathy. So I think their mindset is very much different. So it's interesting to see that there's that paradigm shift in thinking of, I'm the doctor, do what I say, to,
yeah,
I'm the doctor, these are our options. How do we make the best decision for you?
Yeah. And you know, a funny thing that I grew up having this very, very huge respect for doctors, and my mother was a nurse. So, and seeing them like they know everything, and respect their point of view. And, you know, it was just the fact of searching a second opinion. It was a bad thing to do, because I was being, not respectful enough to the doctor, searching for another opinion. So it's first now that I learned that, hey, it is my life. It is my right to know the things I want to know. When I go into the doctor's office, I always have another person with me, because the other person will help me to remember the things I want to know, and the things that will be said. And if I don't understand everything that I am questioned about, I will ask again, because it is my right to know. It is my right to know the things about my own health. And it's first now that I learned that. I was very, in the beginning, I was very humble and very, oh no. It's a funny thing. You learn when you, I'm teaching my children about that now.
Yeah, it's important to realize that it's my life, and I have a right to be an active participant in the decision-making that's going to happen when it comes to my healthcare. It's very important. And that is a shift that a lot of us, probably more so people of like our generation, because like you said, the doctor is the doctor.
Yeah.
They know everything. How dare you question them? Whereas now we're understanding that there's a lot out there. No single one person can know it all. So let's find the answers and the solutions together.
Yeah. And another thing is being curious about your own situation, because I was paralyzed on the left side of my body. And when the doctors told me, you won't get better from now, you reached the point where that's the best you can get. And I thought, you know, say, no, I won't accept that. I will get better because I decided that. You have your point of view, but I decide that. And I got better. And I'm still fighting, and I am searching for another ways to getting another kind of medicine, more natural medicine, and yoga, and meditating, and do another things for myself, and not only the medicine I got from a doctor. You know, I'm experimenting with a lot of things. And right. I don't believe one thing alone can get you better. Sometimes the combination of different things. And this is getting me better. I'm feeling better.
We just covered a bunch of stuff. We were on a roll.
You were asking me about programs from Potty. One thing is to, like I said, you can get involved in the medical trials, but you can also get involved in the research and the development. You can also get involved in the being patient representative in this processes of development and research and development, sorry, and the policymakers too.
They're a really important part of the healthcare environment, the people who are making the decisions, and being able to talk to them and to reach out for them and help them understand what people are dealing with on a daily basis is so important. And so programs like UPOTI that help people.
Yeah, the necessity as you help, like I feel that we can get involved explaining sometimes the necessity of improvement of new medications.
Exactly.
One of those things I was thinking about the EU party education that will, for me, is very valuable, is like when you talk to people about medical trials. Medical trials, it is a very important and really needed thing. And we can get medications before they have been through trials. And when you talk to people about it, they will say, no, they're afraid about it, of it, because nobody wants to be the gene pig, right? But that's not the way it works.
Right.
First
right.
of all, there are a lot of rules, and it's very, very controlled process. And first, when you know all the process, you learn all the process in the education, you know how it works. For me, I wouldn't be afraid of participating in a medical trial today at all, because I know which questions I will ask, and I know how I can certify myself about the process, knowing if the process is doing right. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Knowing that, knowing what the process is, and knowing those guardrails that everybody's yeah. operating in to make sure that it is yeah. safe for the people who are participating.
Yeah. yeah.
And understanding that if you would have a relapse during a trial, like there are procedures in place to make sure exactly. that you get the treatment that you need, you know, to exactly. to come through it on the other side healthy,
yeah.
and, you know, without complications. And like with this education, like with UPOTI, like you said, you know what questions to ask. It's helped you become a better advocate and help you understand that you do have the right to ask those questions, because it is
yeah.
it is your health. So it makes yeah. it's that's an excellent point.
There's a protocol that have to be followed. So I'm in my right to ask about the protocol. So for me, I wouldn't be afraid today to participate in one, especially because I have this rare disease. If they told me they have this new medication that could do great things for me, they are in the process of the medical trial, I would be willing to try it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And especially when it comes to rare diseases, there's not many of us out there. They need our participation in these trials to find the medications that work for us. So it's really important for us to be willing to be a part of this.
Yeah. And one more thing. It is I feel like after the COVID, there were a lot of stigmas out there about pharmaceutical industry and just the fact of taking medicines and all these things. And it's sad that things is like the way it is today, because we need the medicine, and we need the people who makes the medicine for us. That's the way things works.
Yeah, the pandemic was disastrous with the amount of misinformation and
yeah.
conspiracy theories and such that came out. It was just terrible.
Yeah, that I have heard patients. I'm in contact with patients from the whole world, and the Fortunately, it's good that it is only one patient I met that told me that he will never take the medicine, and maybe I should try to take some natural medicine like he's doing. And for me, I am like, you know, something, do the natural thing and do the other thing as well, because it's nothing new. The doctors are studying about these things, and they know what they are doing. That's, I don't know, I'm just talking. I'm tired now. I don't know what to
say. No problem. No, I think that's an excellent point. You know, there's, you know, there's that, the traditional Western medicine approach, so to say.
Yeah.
You know, with medications and thing and treatments, things like that nature. But there's also, and I call them complementary treatments, you know, things like acupuncture, yoga, wellness, there are things, and proper nutrition. All these things, not necessarily competitive.
Like I say, it's never one thing alone that will recover you.
And especially with the nature of autoimmune diseases, there's usually never just one thing that causes it. Multifactorial. So, you know, we have to have a holistic approach to the treatments. And even if it's not necessarily going to cure us, it can improve our quality of life. And that's just, I guess, perspective.
Yeah.
So final question. If you could go back and talk to Lita the day she came home from the doctor and Googled NMO, what would you tell her, knowing what you know now?
If I knew that time when I got my diagnosis, I would ask more questions to the doctor. I don't know if you are able to ask questions when you, for the first time, have your diagnosis. I don't know. But I definitely would go back and ask the doctor to spend a little bit time with me, explain me what it was, and my perspectives, and the things I was afraid about, because doing the research myself and trying to understand things by my own, it was a long way, and it took a lot of strength from me, and it was hard. It was very, very hard way to do things. So yes, I would definitely, and if I could say to my doctor, because I was involved in the making of this NMOSD toolkit you can give to the patient when the patient received the diagnosis, and all the there's a lot of informations there. This toolkit was made by patients, so all the things that the patients found hard in the beginning, they wished they knew at that time, it is in this piece of paper, so the doctor can now, when they say you have this disease and you can read more about it in this piece of paper, and if you have when you have questions, you can come back to me. There is in this toolkit, there are communities, there are phone numbers, their contacts, their explanation, what is NMO, which treatment you can have. There's a lot of things, a lot of good information there.
It's all excellent advice. And I'm glad that you made the decision to be an advocate and to help other people so they don't necessarily feel the way you did in those moments. So thank you for taking the time out of your day and sitting down and talking with us. It's been great. So I appreciate that. Thank you.